Welcome to Bouncing Back Stronger, the podcast where we explore the incredible power of you. Resilience, personal growth, and triumph over adversity. I'm your host, Sarah Jane Vasquez, and I'm thrilled to have you here. Each week, we'll delve into inspiring personal stories, we'll share practical strategies for growth, and provide valuable insights from my own expert experience and as a trained therapist, hypnotherapist, and mindset coach. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools to bounce back stronger than ever before. And if you enjoy the show, please press follow. We'd really appreciate your help and your support here at Bouncing Back Stronger. Now, let's get started. Welcome to another episode of Bouncing Back Stronger. Now, as part of the Women's Collection, I have another wonderful guest, Sarah Anderson. I actually met Sarah at a local networking event and we got chatting and she told me some of her amazing story. So I've been after getting her on the podcast for quite some time. Sarah is the founder of Wonderful Wellbeing, and she's also an expert in manifestation, something that I've been looking more and more into recently. So without further ado, hi, Sarah. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Welcome to the podcast at Bouncing Back Stronger. I'm so pleased that you could come on to the show.
Thank you.
Delight.
I feel a bit nervous being on. Yeah.
Don't be nervous. Take a deep breath. And all our listeners are lovely. So, okay, Sarah. I ask this to everybody really when we start. How did this all start for you? How did you become founder of Wonderful Wellbeing and an expert in manifestation?
Probably talking about 7-8 years ago now. I was struggling to find a job because I was a primary school teacher, and in the Liverpool area there's a lot of students and they're all applying for jobs. 100-150 people apply for each job. I was single after a 10-year breakup.
I see.
All my friends were getting married, having children, so I felt like I had no job. I was single. I got quite down. Why me? Why can't I meet anyone? Why can't I get a job?
Just going back to your 10-year relationship, that's a long time to be together. Can I ask, how did it come about to break up?
Well, we were 15 when we got together at school.
Oh, so young.
At 25, we decided to end it. Well, he decided to end it to live a free life, basically, enjoy with friends and go on holidays and not be tied down. But I, as a girl, I think I presume to be married and have kids at 25.
That's like your expectation.
That's just what you presume your life's going to plan out like. But I think lessons I've learned along the road is your life never plans out as you think it's going to.
No, it really doesn't. You'll
come into other things, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think that's a big stage really in our awareness, to say to yourself, actually this hasn't quite gone as planned, and to have that flexibility to look at your resources and okay, well, it's not stopped, so what can I do?
Exactly. So yeah, it was at the time I just felt all my friends were getting married, all my friends were having children, and I was sort of definitely felt like left on the shelf, definitely fourth. Why me, and getting rejected on applications or interviews, or if I go on a date, I didn't like them or they didn't like me, and just wasn't getting anywhere in life. And I just didn't know.
You just feel really stuck.
Yeah, really stuck. Didn't know what to do or how to turn. And then can't remember what the first book I started to read was. It was either The Magic or The Secret, but both by Rhonda Byrne. Mm. And I started to get into the Law of Attraction. And then I just completely changed my mindset. I went to monthly Law of Attraction meetups in Liverpool City.
What was it about the the secret or what Rhonda Byrne was saying? Magic. I've read both myself.
Say definitely the magic, because that makes you twist your mindset and gives you gratitude. So those who haven't read it, highly, highly recommend it. It's a 28-day gratitude practice. So you're twisting whatever you haven't got to be grateful for. So then I made a list of how ungrateful to be single, how ungrateful to be not jobless. And that sounds crazy, but I kept thinking of more and more things that I could do.
No, courses. I don't think that is crazy, because it's about being grateful for the things you've got in your life already. And perhaps once you're grateful with those and you feel more complete as a person, then perhaps there's some logic in it, isn't it? Then perhaps
definitely
you can move forward.
At being grateful of being jobless, because you think, how can you be grateful for not having a job? But I was living at home with my parents, and I was using all the time wisely, going on courses all the time, reading books all the time. It's completely changing my mindset. So it was a really good time to open it up. And then I made a list of, then I started using the law of attraction like daily and really into my life. I made a list of what I wanted in a man, a list of a job, and I kept tweaking it and what did I want. So I then went from a primary school teacher I got a job in a sixth form college, supporting students and with their mindset and helping them. And then 6 weeks later, I met a guy who actually was nearly everything on the list, and the job was nearly everything on the list too.
But now, there'll be some people going, no way.
There was some things, obviously, but more or less, it did take a few frogs, and sometimes I thought, oh yeah, these are the things on the list, and I had six dates with one guy, and I thought, and then that didn't work out. So it did take a few times, but
I think there is some confusion perhaps with the law of attraction. Some might think that it's just think it, write what it is every day that it is that you want, and it'll come true. But there's more than that, isn't there?
Well, yeah. So I'm planning on doing a law of attraction class because there's so much contradictions and even different books or different teachers will say different things about law of attraction. And one says, forget about it and put it out there. One will say, think about it all the time and have it. There's so many different things to go into it.
But so what do you say?
I think it depends on the actual thing you want to manifest, really. Yeah. You do have to work on it, maybe gratitude every single day.
So when you say gratitude, I mean, I do this with my clients and I do gratitude with myself. I do think it's so important. I feel it makes you grounded and appreciative of the things that you've got and who you are and what then you can give back. But would you say things like, I'm really thankful for a roof over my head?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
The simplest things.
Okay.
So then, totally missed. Before I got that job in the college, I manifested a job in Spain. So I went over to Spain for a school year.
Just that you wanted to work in Spain?
Yeah, and then I literally seen the job online. I had a video call interview and then flew over within 2 days. So I went for a school year. But then the same time when I was there, that's more how it all started. I'd use my Sundays sitting on the beach with books because I was there by myself. I'd use the time wisely. And then I did start like positive mindset classes for expats over there. So that's how I started the Wonderful Wellbeing, really, because I made a Facebook group, which is called Wonderful Wellbeing. And then I was advertising on there for expats to come together and help them with. I'd share my books with them. And
at the age of 25, took a real kind of direction of self-discovery, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely. Because I worked abroad 3 times in the time from 25. I've worked in Corfu as a children's rep, and I worked in Alicante as a nanny. I did go abroad quite a lot with the time. So that's what I was grateful for as well, because if I was still with him, I wouldn't have done those experiences. and my friends.
And probably wouldn't have found manifestation.
They haven't had that time to go abroad or live abroad or have all those experiences where I've met. I also work down south for 4 years by London, where I met loads of people there and different.
And opened up your world, really.
Definitely opened up my world.
And even though you weren't manifesting at the time of that breakup, I'm sure you can look back. I know hindsight's a great thing, but I'm sure you can look back and say, well, look, that must have been the universe opening up for me.
Yeah, definitely.
And saying, you know, saying the, because sometimes, you know, if I manifest something and then, or perhaps sometimes I think I'm having a really high energy day and things are going really well today and the universe is really working with me. And then I might get that piece of, oh, I don't know, bad news, but bad email maybe, or something's gone on. And I think, oh, universe, you know, I knew that was going to happen. It was going so well. And then this happens. But when I've done more work on the subject, it's almost like the universe is given that to you because you can handle it. And perhaps you weren't ready for something. That's how I understand it. Is it, am I right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I always think, okay, rather than perhaps getting all stressed about it, or I really needed that, I wanted that, it's almost like, okay, the universe knows that this perhaps wasn't the opportunity for me. And it does relieve that stress factor.
It does, definitely, because you could go one road or the other road. There's two choices, isn't it? You could take that path, and I could have wallowed in self-pity and...
And in the past, I would have
drugs, I could have turned to alcohol, I could have turned to antidepressants. If people do, but I decided just to take another path where I didn't need those, and I got myself.
Or if they are listening to this and they are feeling in that kind of zone, perhaps take up or look further into manifestation and the law of attraction, because it does offer a different perspective on things.
It definitely does, because you can, it twists your mind to see positives. And if it's not your door, if it just doesn't open, it's not your door. So,
somebody was saying, like, if it's not the right key and it won't fit, it won't open for you. So, that's okay, because the universe has more opportunity waiting for you. I think as long as you're also working with what you've manifested and you're putting in the action, I think. In the past, perhaps I've thought, well, I just want that. And you can't really just then sit back, can you? As you said earlier, some say put out to the universe and see what happens. But the more I've read and the more people I've spoken to about it, I've said, you do need to put the action in. And then opportunities will come your way.
It definitely, you do need to put the action in. So I don't think it's also about maybe just wishes or dreams, or obviously people say, I want a car or want to win the lottery, or you've got to be also specific. I've done those specific lists down to, I want someone who lives close. Yeah. I want in my job a huge car park, because if anyone knows, if you work in a school, there's hardly anywhere to park. Very specific things. And then edit your lists if you need to. So I met a guy who was just into football all the time, and he was always out at the football, playing football, watching football, and then he just had no time for me, and so that was just put on the list. So be specific as well, because if you say want to have a holiday, well, where, when, because it could just be a night somewhere. And
I did do something a little similar a couple of years back when we wanted to buy our first home. And I remember reading something. It wasn't okay just to pop. So I enjoy vision boards. I have one in my office.
I was just about to say that too.
Yeah, it needs changing. So I put this home on my vision board, but then I read somewhere else or heard something, perhaps on another podcast, I needed to really be specific about what type of home did I want? What did I want it to look like? So then I put things like, I want a big garden. I'd like a lot of space. I'd like room where it can grow, you know, and we did get that home. You know, things did happen. It wasn't exact, but it was pretty close. So, but we did have to put in a lot of action for that to come to fruition.
Exactly. It also does need action. Mm. So say if again, going back to a holiday, but are you looking at any? Have you found any? You can, again, get pictures of what specifically you want. Mm. Say even for a home, well, what type of neighbours do you want?
Mm.
Do you want to live on a road? Do you not want to live on a road? Do you want to live by shops? Do you want to live by school? Do you want to...
Yeah.
So.
Now, I want to ask you about the vision boards, actually, because I think I started off doing vision boards wrong. I started off with putting quotes on that I liked, that were motivating, perhaps places that I liked, you know, what I wanted my future to look like. So perhaps I'd have some pictures of that. If I came to you, how would you suggest I work? How would you suggest I do a vision board?
Oh, I'd still say do that and put them on.
Okay.
So I'm actually in the process of organising or preparing or planning one-to-ones, doing one-to-ones with people doing vision boards.
Mm.
So I've bought a huge pad.
Yeah.
So people could come and hopefully do one-to-ones with me doing a vision board.
Well, I think that sounds great because it's a very creative process. And sometimes I think if you're doing that on your own, you can get a little bit of a block. But if you're sitting with someone and certainly an expert like yourself, you get that all the creative juices flowing, you know.
And I've been to a couple of classes myself where people have done them and I've sat there, and it's whether they've got what they brought photos or pictures.
Yeah.
And it's whether I've got what you want, but I'll sit next to me printer and literally print out what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, we'll put all of your details in today's show notes. And this isn't going to go out for a couple of weeks anyway. So if you do get those classes going, you can give me the details. Yeah. So
I would say, quotes are great. You can have them up there. I've got quotes on mine, but yeah, put literally anything you want. Want to come into your life, so holidays are on mine. I've put money as is a huge one, because especially in The Secret and The Magic, they'll put, or you can get it off The Secret website, a blank check to put on there a specific amount you want to manifest. Or if you, those who've got a salary, put, or even business owners, how much you want to earn. Put a check up there.
Is there not a part of us that does the logic brain come in here? Because I've always found the money one a little bit tricky, perhaps of my own limiting beliefs maybe about money. Well, I was on a call, for example, the other night, and the lady said, so how much are you looking to make, you know, this month or year, whatever? And some people saying, oh, £100,000, £200,000. And I honestly was sitting there going, really? Like, I'd be kind of happy with da 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 da, you know, like £5,000 or something, whatever. You know, so would you say to be more ambitious with your visions or realistic?
Be truthful. I think it's took me around the wrong path, that like I am probably in a lot of debt with credit cards, because I just, like, you're meant to say I can afford it.
Yeah, no money scarcity.
Don't say in your mind, it's obviously, again, law of attraction is mainly about how you're wording things and how you speak to yourself and what's going into your brain, because what you think comes true. So you've got, oh, I can afford this, and I'm just like willy-nilly, oh, I'll get that, I'm good. I wouldn't say I'm, because I can't say I'm scared, I can't get that. You just afford anything when you've got that mindset. So, well, you've got to believe money will come to you, and you can't, everything will be okay. So
it'll be replaced.
I think that is a bit of a etchy subject, especially me, a grey area, because I'm actually getting myself into that because I'm just paying out as if
somebody not doing manifestation would say irresponsible, wouldn't they?
Exactly. I am aware of that, and maybe there is plenty of law of attraction specific money books to do. Get Rich, Lucky Bitch, you're a badass with money and things like that. So I do mainly need to next time I pick up a book,
focus on the money aspect. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think with that, you think money is going to come.
Yeah.
Well, it will come.
Yeah. But so believe in the fact it will come. Yeah. Or if you do want money, I think perhaps there's also an area of what can I do to build on the money I have, perhaps as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe looking at it a different way. Yeah. So you came back. Now I remember you mentioning to me that you read something from Oprah Winfrey, and you said it just changed your life.
What I used to know, or what I wish I knew.
Yeah,
something like that. What I wish I knew, or something.
What I wish I knew.
What I know now. I know now what I want, should have known or something.
But yeah, that was one of the first books.
One of the first books I read, and I do highly recommend it. It's very easy read, and it is how she changed her life and twisted her mindset and mind, and how things have came to her using the law of attraction.
Yeah.
But it is a really good, if one of your first books to read, because I wouldn't even say I was a secret advocate, because I think it's really tricky to read The Secret with the different wording, not just the wording, but because it's very contradiction with other things.
And
but
the structure, even in the book, can be a bit tricky, the way it's...
Yeah. If anything, I'd recommend watching a film, so it's called The Secret.
Yeah.
Because that's usually on Netflix or Amazon, but in fact, I did used to... Another thing I'd done about 5-6 years ago... I'd done a showing of The Secret in the local cinema, Walton Cinema. Mm. It was a little independent cinema, and about 40 people came to watch it. So that was good, but then we hit lockdown and it closed the cinema, and they've still got me DVD in there. So I'll have to
try and get your DVD back.
So the film's good because it brings it to life, the book, but Oprah Winfrey one is really good, dead easy
and
to
perhaps
read.
If you, because very simple. There's a lot on manifestation now, isn't there? And if you're just starting out, then it can be quite overwhelming.
Definitely.
And one I told you I was reading at the moment was Nor Hibbett. Just fucking do it or something. And that's really good because she's got quite a witty, she's quite funny. So she's quite engaging.
I did have tickets to go in January. She had it was called Smash 2023.
Okay.
But I couldn't make it due to the trains.
Mm.
But she done it live, as for those who had a ticket, so you could watch it live.
Ah.
But hopefully if she does that again in January, it'd be nice to go.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to go and see her as well, because really her book's good. Making a lot of sense to me.
Definitely. Mm. And it was really good that it was brought into Fab, and you got a workbook with it, and she sent it if you couldn't make it.
Oh, I'll put her book as I'll put all of these books on the show notes for everybody, if you are interested in this. So when you came back from Spain, your knowledge and your knowledge of self must have been just brimming.
Yeah, definitely, because it came so much stronger, so much independent, living abroad for a whole year. I'm meeting so many different types of people.
Mm.
I was so much stronger to obviously not being near my home or with my family or friends.
Mm-hmm.
And having all that time to do self-development.
Mm.
So yeah, then I was looking for a job. And that was when I started doing the lists of what I want to manifest in a man and a job.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's when I got the job in the college and met my partner 6 weeks later.
So and you're still together now.
We're still together now. We've got a gorgeous little girl. It's just him.
Now, you met your partner and then you decided together, because you said to me that age was a factor in your relationship and you knew that you wanted to have children. So what happened for you there, Sarah? What happened next?
So then we were in our early 40s, so we were trying for a baby, and the doctor said because we're in our 40s, they'll give us one free round of IVF on the NHS.
I think that's really great that your doctor suggested that, because you read so many stories about couples, you know, in this IVF lottery.
Definitely. We're so lucky again.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you manifest it or just so lucky that I'm in a lot of groups for IVF or being IVF parents or trying IVF. And it's so disheartening and emotional to read some posts.
Yeah.
And people are paying thousands of pounds, but we got one free round and it works straight away.
And that is amazing, isn't
it? Straight away, yeah. We got two eggs were inserted, but one turned to the baby, but that's fine because we've got it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, then life did turn upside down. 7 months into the pregnancy, I got COVID, which then I ended up being blue lighted. They decided to take the baby out of me.
Mm-hmm.
At 7 months old. She was 10 weeks early. Oh. She was due 22nd November and she was born 19th of September.
Oh, wow.
So unfortunately, she went to special care for 6 weeks and I went into an induced coma and vented.
And why did they put you in an induced coma?
I've no idea.
No idea.
I've got no memory from entering the hospital. I've got no memory even from having COVID. I was at home a week with the COVID before I ended up getting the ambulance.
And you were that ill that you don't even really remember?
No, wow. I've got no memory. So when I've asked about the no memory, obviously it's a bit of the trauma, a bit of the COVID, a bit of the medication. It's just a bit of everything. So I don't even have, and I don't know anything about the baby's birth.
Wow.
No one was there because my partner also had COVID, so we had to isolate at the time. It was when it was a big thing to isolate.
Of course, yeah, and COVID, even the hospitals were on lockdown.
No one could go in. Yep. No one could visit the baby. No one could visit me. Gosh. So my friends and family didn't see me for 6-7 weeks, and the same with the baby.
Now, that must have been absolutely just terrifying for them. To know that you were in an induced coma, to know that you were alone, they couldn't visit. And these are the impacts of COVID. And I was only talking about this, you know, the other day, that for some people, and in those situations, it must have been so difficult.
So difficult for my friends and family. Yeah. My parents were just
distraught,
traumatized. My partner, because they were ringing up all the time, the hospital, to get information, but to not even be able to enter or to see me or to see what's going on. Literally, I am terrible on social media, so I'm always on Instagram, always on Facebook, always on WhatsApp. My phone's never out of my hand.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just say your phone just went and no one
knew what was
going on. And a lot of people were like, wonder what's that, and said because they couldn't like notice that I wasn't posting.
And even of course, like, a lot of people would have known you were having a baby as well, because if you're always on social media, you would have been sharing your journey and things like that. So I'm sure that, you know, those that aren't directly personable to you were very worried.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I met girls doing pregnancy yoga or girls who were on the IVF journey with me, and they were just so terrified. People I'd met on all my journeys from working down south, working abroad, they were just good. It was unbelievable, the like support and the prayers I got. And then again, I think, was it the prayers and the thoughts that got me through?
Even possibly mindset, your own beliefs subconsciously got you through that time. Because were you in the induced coma for 6 weeks?
Again, I'm not too sure on facts and figures, because I was in the intensive care for 6 weeks.
Right.
I don't know I'm not sure how long this last I was in the coma for.
Do you remember
because
waking
it was different
up?
Levels, so it was different levels of steroids, antibiotics. Mm. I don't remember waking up because it was different. I remember different things. One of the nurses was trying to wash my hair. They have a special thing for your bed where they can wash it. And then I remember a physio trying to put me in a hoist. And then I remember one time my partner trying to FaceTime. They got me a tablet, but the internet wouldn't work. So I don't know whether they could. I just said to him yesterday, to be honest, that I don't know if that was all the same day or different days, but they're just
it's a bit of a blur.
I can remember from the intensive care. And just once I got a track costume put in, but I've never seen it. I don't know what it's like. I don't go and feel it, anything. But once I woke up as such and was back to normal, as such, not normal, but awake, once they took it out, because you remember putting a plaster in, and I presumed I was in the Liverpool Women's Hospital, because that's where I had the IVF and was due to have the baby. Wow. And then he came to visit me, and he was distraught. I didn't even know I'd had a baby, really, because I said to him yesterday, because I'd never had a baby before, I hadn't missed it, I didn't know anything about it, I didn't even know what it was like. So as much as people think it's like a movie or a TV program, it was just more of a blur, and I was just, I didn't know anything about it, really.
It's amazing that, though, isn't it? It's like one of those great life moments, just completely taken away, just completely blurred out.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's just,
how did you feel when you, or did you, were you very sore, or what was your physical health like?
I wouldn't say I was sore. I was more, I couldn't actually physically do anything. My physical health was horrific.
Very weak.
When I finally got my phone back, I couldn't even hold the phone. I couldn't brush my teeth. I couldn't stand up, which was devastating. It was like, am I going to be like this for the rest of my life? Couldn't even stand, never mind walk.
Wow.
I couldn't sit up. You couldn't even, you don't realise your strength and your muscles. You can't even, sitting up just tired me so much. Yeah. I should just, because I'd already been 6 weeks in bed.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. It was so, thankfully.
Needed to build you back up again.
So much physio and occupational therapies and speech therapies, because my voice went funny as well with all the tubes and having been invented. I was really husky. I was at the time on a feeding tube, oxygen, so everything had to be weaned off.
Gosh.
But then I had all kinds of specialists trying to wean me off them.
And of course, you're in hospital trying to get yourself better, which must have been so frustrating for you, those days where it's just, will you walk? Will you just do this? Will you just, you know, again, a lot of mental strength coming through for you. And knowing as well all along that you've got this little girl.
Yeah, so again, it isn't really, I didn't know anything about it. I never touched it, never felt it, never smelt it, never.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. Thankfully, and God bless them, the nurses sent videos and photos of her all the time when she was with them in special care. So we have them. But it's not really the same. And I've been in to visit the special care and to see where she was and see her incubator and meet the staff who were looking
it
after.
It sounds like they were incredible, the staff.
Very incredible. Yeah. You can't thank them enough.
Yeah.
They're such angels.
Yeah.
So grateful. And if I could drape that on my gratitude list every day, I will do the rest of my life. I owe them so much.
Well, there you go. You've instantly took something out of a really, really traumatic experience for you and taken the parts of it that you're really grateful for. So again, yes, to look definitely. At it with a different lens.
I think definitely if you need to find gratitude, people need to find gratitude. I thank you for the NHS, how lucky are we that we get for free, all the care I've had, all the drugs I've had off them, all the machinery, everything that you
I think when it's someone like yourself and you've
from the hospital.
Yeah.
You have paramedics, the 111 staff who got the ambulance for
everybody
me.
Everybody involved, the cleaner.
Everyone, the cleaners,
yeah.
The people making the dinner and everyone, as I say, I got the team, the rehabilitation that I went to. I went to rehabilitation ward in another hospital. They were just absolutely fantastic. Literally, I had dietitians, psychologists, social workers, speech and language therapists, physios every single day, and just such nice staff that really.
And they gave you, they gave you some of the strength to get better as well. So, your partner, obviously extremely traumatized. He has his, you know, the mother of his baby girl in hospital, just coming out of a coma and just hopefully on the road to recovery. But again, there's uncertainty because you both didn't know how long that would take. And then of course he's got this little girl who went into intensive care. She was premature. Two great worries.
I know, and he is such a worrier. He isn't. Mm. He hasn't read any books or into the law of attraction. So I do. I also believe that I'm sent to help him to be positive, because he's quite negative and he'll go completely off on a tangent with things.
So his mind at the time could have been racing.
He got through. Mm. Yeah, honest to God, because with anything,
catastrophizes.
Goes.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
How he got through it, I really just do not know. But obviously with strength and for the baby.
For you and for the baby, yeah. So when did you finally meet your little girl? Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was the 4th of November. So she was born 19th of December. September 19th, and I met her on the 4th of November.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 4th of November, I moved to the new hospital.
Mm.
So yeah, I met her, but again,
how are you feeling about that? Were you apprehensive? Because did you have any worries?
No, I just didn't really feel anything. People were a bit worried about bonding, or if I'd feel detached, or I don't know, emotional or whatever. But I sort of felt blank, to be honest. Mm. I didn't feel like she was mine. I thought she was just someone else's. I was just holding on to her. And it was a bit hard at first. So
I could have surreal, really. Hold it
properly. Surreal. Very, very surreal. Mm. Like, she isn't mine. If she just come for a little visit on my rehabilitation ward. So the physios and that needed to be there with me.
Mm.
I had to have all cushions to hold her, and they helped place her on me. So I still couldn't really hold her properly. She was just on pillows.
Mm.
So he tried to bring her in nearly every day when I was in the rehabilitation. The hospital said, like, she can visit every day. And they gave me, like, a huge room for the pram and her to visit. But it was setting into winter then. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit mad, because I went to hospital in shorts and T-shirts and flip-flops. I've got photos of me going into, I'm in A&E on the stretcher with shorts, T-shirt and flip-flops.
Yeah.
And then when I've come around, it's freezing cold and...
Coming out in, yeah, great big
November,
coat.
Yeah, the fireworks are on and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so because as well as she was so premature, she had to be all wrapped up in a woolen hat and scarves and cardigans. And he was very precious of her. He's still so, so precious of her because of what happened. We would be anyway, because obviously going for IVF and being first-time parents and in our 40s, we would give us... We'd be so precious of her, but obviously it was even heightened for him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when were you finally allowed to come home?
I was allowed to come home on the 24th of November, which was ironically probably the day I'd come in when I'd had her.
Wow.
If I'd stick. She was due the 22nd of November, so I came home on the 24th, a month before Christmas. And we had to just beg the doctor to let us go, because I'd started to walk everywhere around the ward and dress myself. So it would have just been carrying on the rehab there of, like, get my strength up when we walking, but we asked, could we just do it at home?
Mm.
Coming up to Christmas, I wanted to be at home.
Mm.
So they did actually finally let me out on 24th of November 2021. So that was just so lovely to be home and finally start being a mum.
Yeah. And everything that you've been working towards in the hospital.
Mm. And yeah, they did help me. Like, I had to try and do a bottle while I was there, do a nappy, try and prepare me for being at home. But
so what was your first Christmas like with her?
Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, she had all kinds of Christmas and clothing and Father Christmas visit. And it was lovely going around, like, the garden centres all decorated and things like that. And then we're all still OTT at Christmas and her birthdays. She just had a birthday last week, so she got Peppa Pig coming, and we had a bouncy castle and a big party.
But the thing
I think I'll celebrate it every year, because then... At the time, it's also keeping my mind occupied of what
happened
with that.
Because you do seem to have taken a really positive kind of experience away from it, which is great. And perhaps it is to do with the type of person that you were at that time. You know, you'd done an awful lot of work on yourself. You were no longer that 25-year-old. You'd gone on a huge journey yourself over those years. So perhaps you were able to manage things a lot more positively, which is great. But then at the same time, that was just such a major life event for you.
Huge, because I tell my students, like, life is a roller coaster. Mm. Your life is just not static linear the whole time. It's up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
You go, like, huge highs, huge lows, bumps in your road, detours in your road. And when you look back at your story, and I do maybe one day maybe write a story, but I've been in a couple of magazines too with this story, but But I just think everyone, you could talk to every single person and things have happened in their life. And I don't, one maybe, I love quotes, but I wouldn't actually believe the quote, Erin Ams, for a reason. Because then you think sometimes, why do people die young or why do people get cancer? I don't know the reason for those. And not, it's heartbreaking when children die and things.
Yeah.
So I do, when people maybe look back at this and say, everything happens for a reason. Maybe it is to help other people and give strength to other people and guidance. But I really, you've got
it. It's almost like you're saying, because it was out of your control, there was nothing that you could have controlled in that external environment. And quite often, you know, we want to control everything and we can't. It's about looking at what are the things that you can control and what can you do about. So, for example, now, if you were to perhaps allow any of that to hold you back, you're allowing this external event, or, you know, that you, there's nothing you could have done, and there's certainly nothing now. But what you can do is use your resources. And use what you are now and what you have now to move forward. And as you said, to help others.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is amazing. So what is next for you now, Sarah?
Next for me now is hopefully doing the one-to-ones with the vision boards.
I just need to
sort out the time and a place.
Yeah.
A lot of attraction class. I want to do the class to help people with the different contradictions and what it is, and the how the secret can change your life, but also what's the secret to the secret in the class.
You know, you said sorry to interrupt you. You said though about your partner, he's perhaps very different to you. Has he taken any of this law of attraction on board? Has he been open to perhaps any discussions with you? All I'm saying is I know an awful lot of people in my world who can be quite, not negative about it, but very flippant about it. Like, yeah, whatever, Sarah.
I think he is starting to sometimes, don't get me wrong, I'm probably 95% of the time strong, but now and again, I'll
have
a little.
Of course, you're human.
Emotional about what happened to me or what happened to me baby.
Yeah.
And then he will try and he will then try and obviously comfort me and say, well, we've got her now and she's perfect and
she's healthy, she's happy.
Yeah, and our bond is amazing. So he will, when I'm thinking of trying, give me the positive spot. Even so, I'm saying that it still won't change nothing. And I really can't. A lot of attraction as well as is about like letting go. But to me, maybe I've done this another year time, I'll let it go. And but I don't really also want to let it go. It's a huge part of my story and part of my life. And that is just horrific trauma to deal with, not being with your baby for 10 weeks of a life, missing birth, missing breastfeeding.
And something something to always communicate with her, you know, as well as she gets older and starts to understand, because they obviously say that those weeks are the most important time for the baby to bond with mom, and the connection, the power of that relationship from the very beginning. So, you know, it's just really good that you're so aware of that and you can continue to build on that. At the end of the day, you were there then, you know, when she was 10 weeks old, did you say?
Yeah.
So really, that's great, you know, and obviously you have an amazing relationship and she's very close to you. But I think it's nice that it's like, well, I'm keeping that discussion open. I'm not going to forget it. I did have a guest on not so long ago, and he was talking about his own premature birth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and how he feels that he was traumatized even at birth. So there was an effect on him. I'm not saying this is for everybody, Sarah, by the way, but it was something that he very much, well, it's shaped him, he said, and he's a therapist now, you know, he's right. Very successful. But he was talking about kind of that pre-verbal trauma that sometimes we can just dismiss, but actually it's really there. It is something.
My degree was in early years. Mm. So I've studied about theories and stuff, and I just obviously I try not to worry or think about too deep about. Is she got attachment, or have I got attachment issues? When I've got a drop right now, she'll go to work and I want to be with her. But then is that normal? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everything boards on, well, what's normal then?
And all children are very different. I think what he was saying is why I brought it up, is because in a similar way, his parents were very open with him about what happened. And that's what you said, that's why you don't want to just let it go, because it's always going to be a huge part of your past.
Yeah.
In a way, it doesn't define you both. It doesn't control anything. It's just, it was there and we can talk about it.
Yeah. And we made it for.
Exactly. The hospital must have been over the moon to see her, you know, tottering along. Yeah.
Definitely. It's such a nice story for them, and to see the development.
Absolutely, because you're a winner and a true bouncer backer, Sarah.
Definitely.
So just before we end, I ask this to every guest. What's one thing out of our whole conversation today that you would like somebody to take away with them?
I want somebody to definitely take away finding gratitude, even when you think you can't find it somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's always something to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really important. Look for it.
So I highly recommend The Magic.
The Magic, okay. As I said, I'll put your details, I'll put our book recommendations on the show notes. And so if there's one thing, folks, for you to go away and do today, and that's to start building your gratitude list. And as we've said, it's even in the simple things, perhaps just those small things that maybe make you smile or bring you joy.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Sarah.
Oh, thank you very much. It was lovely.
And, thank you, and good luck with everything. And as I said, all your details will be on the show notes. So anybody looking for advice or wanted to join any of Sarah's workshops on manifestation, law of attraction, then do get in touch. Thank you, Sarah. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Bounce It Back Stronger. I hope you've taken lots from this today, either for you or for somebody else. If you'd like to come on the show, you have a personal story, or perhaps you're an expert in a particular field, then please get in touch. You may even wish to work with me on all things linked to changing your beliefs and your behaviours. You'll find all my links in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.